Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to come before your sons and your daughters. Thank you, Lord God, for your word that you are about to share with us. Holy Spirit, once again, I ask you to please speak through my lips such that every need here today is met and every question that we have in our hearts is answered. In Jesus' name, we declare it so. Amen. Beloved, I'm continuing from my teaching that I started this year, basically. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. The declaration by the Spirit of God to us as a church, as a family, and I believe also the body of Christ, to as many who tune into it and who key into it, is it is my year of the next level. It is my year of, not, it's not my year of next level, my year of the next level. It is very clear that in every aspect of our life, there is the next level for that. And last week I began to share about don't limit God and how God has really impressed upon my heart from last year and into this year that's been very, very strong to take the limits off Him. Take the limits off me. Dare to believe me. Dare to believe me, my son. Dare to believe me. What do you have to lose if you believe me? And I began to see that one of the major obstacles that affect us as believers in believing God all the way are two areas, basically. There could be more, but there are two that I recognize. Number one, the opinion of people, and number two, fear. The opinion of people. So people sometimes are afraid to share with others what they are believing God for, just in case it does not work, because there's a strong hold of people's opinion, what people will say, what people will think. Then secondly, fear. Fear of going that extra level. You may be comfortable where you are, but God is trying to push you for more. Trying to push you for more. And so I believe very strongly that the next level that God is calling you to, and some of you have already started walking into it, is that you have to do things differently. I believe you have heard that saying before. If you want something different, you have to do something differently. It's really true. You know, if you keep doing the same thing, you'll get the same result. But if you want to go to another level, it means that the status quo in my life, my current situation, I need to allow God shift it. I need to allow God move it. I need to allow God take me and push me to as far as I can go with Him. And last week I shared with us that I believe there are three areas that I'm going to be sharing in this series that are a big, that can be big obstacles to moving to the level God wants us to be. Obstacles that can limit God in our life. Because as great as God is, He can be limited. As great as God is, He can be limited. And the Holy Spirit through Jesus' life shows us that very clearly. That in His hometown, the Bible says He couldn't do any mighty work because of unbelief. So it's a beautiful thing to see that when God wants to do something, the place of our believing, the place of our participation is key. The reason why we can see the earth today so beautiful, we see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the ocean, and the beautiful birds, because God did not consult man when He wanted to do that. If God had a discussion with man to say, you know what, I'm going to put a beautiful object, call it the sun in the sky, and to beam all over the earth, man would say, how is that going to work? But everything, if you look at through scripture, everything that God went ahead to do, He didn't seek man's opinion in it. And when He did it, it was grand. But then you see, in areas where man agrees with God, how man is able to see himself in a whole nother level from where he was before to where God wanted him or her to be. And so, child of God, tell your neighbor this. There is more God wants to do through your life. Tell them, say, there is more that God wants to do through your life. There is more that God wants to see through your life. There are more places that God wants you to go for Him in your life. Now watch this. There is more money that God wants you to make for the kingdom's sake and my family in my life. Do you really believe that? Take the limits off. So the first thing I said last week, who remember the first point I made? Just the first point, the major point. Yes, sir? Change your thinking. Change how you think. The first thing I shared about was change how you think. I said there are three areas I'm going to be touching in this coming Sundays. Change how you think, change how you believe, and your actions. Those three things, you will find out in scripture, God always tries to deal with people in those areas of their lives. And if he's able to get them to affect their thinking, to affect their belief, it will cause an action. And the enemy always wants to attack how we think, attack what we believe, and cause us not to move, and cause us to stay. You see God through the angels, you see God directly pushing people, pushing people, pushing people. Jesus tells his disciples when he was leaving, go into the world, go. Don't just sit here and blab that you know me and be filled of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues in the office all day. Go, 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 go. And so today we want to talk about our beliefs. The next point I want to talk about concerning don't limit God is our beliefs. A man's belief, when I say a man, I'm talking about mankind. So that, you know, I always man. Man and woman's beliefs, or mankind. But a man's belief is a big thing in their life. You and I today, we are a result of what we believe. We are where we are today in however shape or form, and or little, a belief. We have followed what we believe. We have followed, if you look at your life, from where you came from to where you are, you have followed what you believed. We follow what we believe. And so wherever you are in your believing mindset right now, I'm here to tell you the Spirit of God, God wants to change that. If you were here in your belief, he wants to take it here. If you're already here, he wants to take it here. If you're already here, he wants to keep taking it further and further and further, because as far as God is concerned, there is always more. Look at what God told Joshua here, quickly. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. In the New Living Translation, I want to show, we have heard it before, but I want to point something out as I go. Joshua 13:1 says, in the New Living Translation, God appears to Joshua. He says, when Joshua was an old man, the Lord said to him, it's time to retire. You know, you have done well. No, well, first and foremost, God acknowledges his age. Joshua, you are growing old, and much land remains to be conquered. Take note of that word conquered. Another translation says possess. It means that God wants to push us to, there's going to be a place of aggression on your part. There's going to be a place of to dispossess on my part. There's going to be a place of seizing what belongs to me. And if you have time in your study time, read that whole chapter 13, and you will see God naming all the places that needed to be conquered. Over the Philistines, the Canaanites, lands upon lands, mountains upon mountains. God was telling this old man, there is so much more to do, Joshua. So much more to do. So a man is thinking about retirement, God is thinking about redistributing, and God is thinking about conquering more. Still going further. So as children of God, God would never allow you settle where you are. I'll say it again. As a child of God, as a man of God, whatever way devil you are in with the Lord right now, God would never allow you settle in your status quo, in your current state. You may be doing very well right now. If you're honest with yourself, you can tell that God has been unto you, there is more to do. You are limiting me. There is so much more to do. There are places to go. There are things to possess. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we are not going to settle. I will not settle. I refuse to settle. Because I've found out that when I move with God, and when God moves in the direction that he's telling you to go, he shows you much more than you ever thought you could imagine. He shows you much more than you ever thought you could accomplish. You will shock yourself that you can believe God to that extent. I tell you the true people of God, when it's all said and done, by his grace, in 6 months, in a week, in a quarter, in the year, you would shock yourself and thank God that you went that way with the Lord. You will thank God that you took that step to believe. You will thank God that you took that step to go out of what God says you should move. Because the next level will not be comfortable, but it is necessary for what God wants to do. It wasn't comfortable for Joshua, an old man, to keep going to conquer lands, but God told him, you can. Because again, it's not by age. It's not by power, it's not by might. Praise the Lord Jesus. So as we go to this, as we desire to go to the next level and to and take the limits of God, it means that our beliefs. What is a belief? A belief is something, in a very simple explanation, a belief is something you embraced. It's something you have embraced as truth for you. You've embraced that this is true. You've embraced that this thing, this whatever it is true. And every one of us here today, by the grace of God, what we believe is up to you and me. It's our choice. God cannot make you believe him. I cannot make you believe God. You cannot make me believe God. I have to choose. Believing is an act of man's will. It's an act of your own will. And that is why at the end of the day, what you choose and what I choose to believe is very critical to the level and to the place God wants to push you to. There are some beliefs in our hearts that God wants to eradicate. There are some beliefs that God wants to put in. And that is what we are going to be doing, and that is what the Spirit of God is going to be doing. There are some beliefs, I'm going to show you through scriptures, that you live your whole life in, but it's really a way to believe. It's really a dangerous way to believe. But you think it's true. Because again, a belief is something you have embraced. You have said this is true. So you conduct your home by it. You conduct business with it. You raise your children with it. You conduct marriage with it. And you live life just with it. But many times, when you really do a proper evaluation of those beliefs, you find out that they are lies. Stop believing lies. Start believing truth. Tell your neighbor, say, stop believing lies. Start believing truth. Come on, say it again, beloved. Stop believing lies. Start believing truth. Let me show you the power of our belief. You know Abraham. Let's look at Abraham here. You know what? Before I go there, let's read Mark quickly. Mark chapter 11. Oh, okay. Yes. Thank you, Spirit of God. Okay, Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, 23. Look at what believing does. New Living Translation says it this way. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain. You can say to this mountain. God is not saying, I can say to the mountain. For you. The truth. Is this mic going off? Please give me the other mic, please.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Mark 11, 23. He says it this way. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted. God is speaking to a human being now. You. I'm telling you. You can say to this mountain, be lifted and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe. But you must what? Really believe it. You must really believe what? It will happen, and have no doubt in your heart. Because the story before this, quickly, Jesus has spoken to a fig tree. And the Bible says the fig tree died. It dried up the next day when he came. And they were astonished. Ah, even the trees, the thing he spoke happened. I'm telling you, you can do the same thing. If you tell a mountain to move, it will move. But believe it. Believe it will happen. Believe it will happen. Ah, Bishop, I'll just speak to a mountain and say to remove. I didn't say just what Jesus said. Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay, watch. John 11:40, quickly. John 11:40. John 11:40 says it this way. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, in the New King James, did I not say to you that if you would believe, Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? If you believe, believing is for us. We decide that if you believe, daughter, you would see the glory of God. Again, this was the context of this was Lazarus' experience. Jesus told them that Lazarus was going to live. And they told Jesus, well, you know, we believe that he'll raise up from the dead on the resurrection day. Then Jesus counters it. Didn't I tell you if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe, I can't make you believe, but if you believe, you can see the glory of God. John chapter 14. John 14:12. Give me the New Living Translation. John 14:12. If you believe, most assuredly I say to you, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me, Anyone who believes in me will do the same works. Will do the same works I have done. And even greater works, because I am going to be with my Father. Anyone who believes in me. Now, those three scriptures, again, there are much more because of time. You see Jesus using and tying their next level to what they believe. It's up to them. You want to see the glory of God? Believe it. You want to speak to the mountain to move to another level? Believe it and it will happen. Do you want to make sure that everything you are desiring from God will come to pass? Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. All the men and women of faith in scripture and today, whoever they are, that are doing amazing things for the scripture in life, if you trace everything back, is what they believe is possible. It's not magic, beloved. Believing is not for a selected few. It's what are you able to believe? What do you choose to embrace? Are we embracing lies or are we embracing the truth? We know the story of Thomas in the Bible. You remember Thomas? Jesus' disciple, not doubting Thomas. I mean, respect the man. The man tried. Said doubting Thomas. He's an apostle. An apostle of Jesus Christ that set up churches. He had one incident of doubt. All of a sudden, the church has named him Doubting Thomas. It's like somebody calling you Liar Peter. You don't like that name. Your name is Peter. Call me Peter, not Liar Peter. Thomas in the Bible, we see a very unique situation with Thomas in the Bible, where Jesus appears to the disciples, and Thomas was not there. He appears to them, greets them, peace be unto you, shows them his hand, and they were excited to see Jesus. And Jesus leaves. The next moment, Thomas shows up. And they tell Thomas, Thomas, you missed though. Jesus appear. We just did hear the fellowship. He just show up. What did Thomas say? Until I see. Watch again. The power of choice. God can't make a man believe. Until I see his hands, the wound on his side, the nail on his feet, I will not believe. This is the same Thomas that Jesus sat all of them together and told them what was going to happen. I will not believe. Thank God for grace. The Bible says Jesus showed up. Thomas, come. Put your finger in my hand. Thrust your finger to my side. And the Bible says Thomas fell on his knees. Oh Lord God, I believe. But Jesus does not stop there. He goes further. Because you've seen, you believe. That is good. But blessed are those who don't wait to see, but they believe. But they believe. They don't wait to see, but they believe. You and I have not physically seen Jesus walking in the earth, but we believe. He's talking about us. It's up to you. What am I trying to say, beloved? Every level that God is going to be pushing you to, you have to attack what you believe. Because the enemy would want you to settle where you are. Or settle with a lie. And I'm going to expose some lies today by the grace of God. And show you certain things that are lies that we may tell ourselves or tell our children or tell a congregation. But they are lies according to the word of God. Another example of a man that we admire so much is Abraham. Old man. And his wife, Sarah, old woman. God came this is more than the last level. He throws them over the moon, the stars, and everything. You are going to born. You go born picking Abraham. Sarah, you born a child. And the Bible says they didn't believe. He was 75 years old when God brought that information to him. And all through that, 25 years later, the Bible says, and Abraham was fully persuaded. Let me show you something here because I want us to really grasp something. Go to Romans chapter 4. Because I know that this is a very strong area in our lives. Jesus cannot make you believe. God cannot make a man believe. He will present himself, but man still has to choose to believe. And part of my intention today, is as much as within the grace of God upon my life, to present to you much facts through the scriptures to cause you to believe. So that where God has you going, before you get there, you're already there. You understand what I said? Where God has you going, before you physically get there, you are already there. That's how you know you believe something. You are already there. So even though you never see him, you are there. That's what Jesus meant. Blessed are those who have not seen. We have not seen heaven. We have not touched God, Jesus Christ, physically in his body. But we are already there. We believe it. So look at the Romans chapter 4. Verse 18. Romans 4:18, the New King James says, against all odds. Look at Abraham. Against all hope. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Who, contrary to hope, against all hope, in hope what? Believed. So that he became the father of many nations. Do you have, this is another translation I love. Do you have TPT translation? Romans 4:18. It breaks it down very, very clear so that I want all of us to catch something here. Because everything God is doing, man of God, how you believe, it matters. My sister, how you believe, it matters. Oh, how go take go where God want me, how take go the place where God want me I go? Believe. Believe. If you don't have it, give me the New Living Translation. Give me the New Living Translation quickly. Because there are some points I'm trying to carry all of us together. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham was justified to not hope. I'm old. Doctors have said, I'm beyond childbearing age. Sarah is old. I don't blame Sarah. The Bible says when the angel came and told her, she laughed. This one does not know my situation. He's telling me that I will give birth to a child. Does he not know my womb is already dead? Question, was it a fact that Abraham was old? Come on now, was it facts? Was it a fact that Sarah was old? And again, just our normal human knowledge, 75-year-old man, 70-something-year-old woman, do they generally have children? Okay, now let's not, this is not faith talk now. This is just us talking. If an 80-year-old woman goes to a doctor, whoever, if you're a medical doctor here, and says, I want to born, the doctor, what would he tell her? You are beyond childbearing age. You can't take care of that child. He's speaking to you facts. He's just telling you what he thinks. He's not trying to be wicked. He's just telling you, this is the situation. It will be hard. I don't think you can do it. Facts. But we're dealing with God here. So God doesn't just look for, I'm about to say something. God does not look for fertile ground to find something to grow on a ground that is already fertile. God goes to look for deserts. He goes to look for wilderness because he wants to prove a point. The earth belongs to me. You say that place is dry. It's fertile. Not with me, create the place. To your eyes, it's dry. To your eyes, this land, there's nothing. Trees cannot grow here. According to whom? What you can see. You don't know what is beneath. So when God is pushing you to a place, he's not pushing you to a place because it's dry and wants to fall your hand. That's like as somebody would say, God just wants to, he wants to mess me up. But look at what the Bible says. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing. Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. So there's one word I'm going to add to this word, believing. Change, we are going to attack what I call limiting beliefs. Tell your neighbor, say limiting beliefs. A limiting belief is a belief that is a lie, but it dresses itself as true. It has been formed based on your condition. It has been formed based on your present condition. It has been formed based on your experience. So based on what you have experienced, it's a belief. I've experienced, you know, as a young lady, the guys I've spoken to, men are nothing. Men are nothing. Women are cheats. Igbo men are foolish. Yoruba men don't have sense. All beliefs. No, I'm telling you something. Why are they saying that? Experience. Personal experience. Or what somebody else have experienced and told you. And you embraced it. That's it. But I target a limiting belief. Because a limiting belief is a lie. It disguises itself as true. Traditions form limiting beliefs. Philosophies of men form limiting beliefs. And so, when God's word shows up, when a promise shows up, and you have a limiting belief, there's quarrel. Because God comes and tells you, by his stripes, you are healed. But a limiting belief creeps up. Well, you know, in my family, everyone by the age of 40 always experiences high blood pressure. So I'm not surprised. It's just one of those things in life. It's a belief, but it's limiting. A limiting belief is a lie. Whereas a promise from God, a promise of God is that word that comes to attack that limiting belief. It comes to question that limiting belief. It comes to bring, it brings questions. That's why the Bible says it this way about Abraham. Against all hope, he believed. God said something. Abraham believed he was an old man. Sarah believed she's her womb is dead. We have passed childbearing age. Again, that's what they believe, but it's limiting. Because someone else comes and gives a different perspective. You are going to be a father. You are going to have children. You are going to go over the world and preach the gospel. You are going to have a family. You will get married, but I've passed marriageable age. The Lord is going to break limiting beliefs here today. Because every time that we, for every level God is taking you, there is a limiting belief to be attacked. There's a belief that needs to be attacked. The Bible also describes it as stronghold. Casting down. That's what I'm just trying to say. Casting down imaginations. They all limit. They all limit. Praise the Lord Jesus. And a limiting belief can only be pulled down by embracing the truth and the promise of God's word. So the only way I can pull down that limiting belief, you have to embrace God's word. Key points I want to share before we close, before we leave here. And before we do that, look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, say, if I catch you sleeping, this is a no sleeping room. No sleeping corner. How dare you sit down, my man, you sleep. You not sleep for house? Praise the Lord. In love. You are resting your eye. Don't rest your eye. Meditating. The devil is a liar. Now, I'm trying to help some of us because moments are key. Moments. Whether they cause accidents, a simple distraction, just very small. It's not a whole 30-minute distraction. 1 second of distraction, accident. Don't happen. How? I just say, make a check my phone real quick. Now I see, say, trailer, they come. That's not your portion. Moments. Moments. And as human beings, we live in seasons and moments. So you have to be alert at your moment and do whatever you can to be present at the moment. Amen? God bless us in Jesus' name. So, let me give you an example of a limiting belief. I wrote some popular phrases that we say. Have you ever said this or hear somebody say, I'm alone. I'm alone. You know, it's just me. I'm alone. In this world, nobody really cares. I'm alone. That's a lie. You're not alone. See, it sounds like a very sweet, endearing, come and be with me. I need attention. I'm just by myself. I'm alone. But it's a lie. You are not alone. It's a belief. I don't have. That's a lie. To say I don't have, it means God did not provide. But for every human being, God always gives everybody something. God is fair in distribution. Meaning every man will have something. Now what he does with what he has is a different question. But everyone would have something. Everyone would have something. Everyone would have an opportunity in this life. Okay, I will say that again. Everyone, and I can be challenged by this, but I will show you. Every human being will be given an opportunity in life in any way, shape, or form. God is fair, and he will give every man an opportunity. Now, what we do with that opportunity, again, is left to us. Jesus came to his hometown and gave them an opportunity to experience miracles like they have never seen before. He came to his own hometown. He gave them an opportunity. So it will not be said he's just doing all this work in Galilee and healing the sick and raising the dead. He's not even come his own village, self. Have you heard that before? He's just rich, buying houses. He didn't even build a house in the village. He didn't do borehole. Have you not heard that statement before? Jesus did the same thing. He shows up. Let me put some boreholes in this place and light up the community and heal all that are sick in my neighborhood. And the Bible says they didn't believe. He's a carpenter's son. What is he doing? Every one of us. That statement, I'm alone, I not get, is a lie. Okay, look at what the Bible says. Psalm chapter 46 verse 1. Let's look at truth now. There's a limiting belief, I'm alone. But let's look at truth. Psalm chapter 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Okay. Verse 11. Let's go to verse 11. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is what? Come on now. The Lord of hosts is what? He is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge seller. So when I say I'm alone, God is saying, no, you are not. I'm with you. Now, which report will you believe? This is just what it is. So when the thought comes in, I'm alone. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Nobody even check on myself. I just day by myself. It's a lie. God is saying, my daughter, I am here. I am your refuge. Are you in trouble? I am here. So embrace the truth. Embrace this empowering truth. You are not alone. You are not by yourself. Okay, let me share another one with you. I can't do it. Yes, I can't, but yes, he can. I can't do it. How many people in the Bible told God, I can't? And God, you can. Oh, Moses is the famous one. I pray that they will not remember us like that in Jesus' name. There are plenty. Moses, you are going to deliver these people. I can't do. I stammer. I can't talk well. That's what Moses told God. I'm struggling with my speech. I can't do that. The man was fought for 40 years taking care of sheep, not bothering any person. When you think God will not show up is when he will show up. The time you think, I've built house, I've tried. My wife, let us relax. You will come in a dream. There's more to do. As long as there's still breath in you, there is more to do. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. I can't. Lord, I can't. I can't move forward. I can't do this. I can't start this new business. I can't. Look at what Luke 18, 27 says. He said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. These things, what are the things? Whatever it is possible with God. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, 13. I can do what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Give me the New Living Translation of this scripture quickly. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So when I say I can't, God is saying, you can. My son, you can. You can conquer. You can move mountains. What is it that God has put in your spirit? What is it that God has been telling you? I'm here to tell you by the grace of God, man of God, daughter of God, you can. Tell your neighbor, you can. You can do it. These scriptures I'm sharing with you are scriptures that I've been meditating on for a while. So I've deliberately tried to figure out what are those statements you just hear and you say it very casually. You've embraced it. I can't. It's too hard. But is anything too hard for the Lord? Get as a B. I'm not sure say if you do this thing. And God will just come in. Is there anything to get as a B for me? I can't do it. Come on, my son. We can do it. Look at how far you have come. You didn't even know you would reach here, but you are here. You didn't even know that you could go through what you went through and came out, but you are here. Have you heard this one before? I'm a failure. Everything where I put my hand, but I say, no, they walk. I fail, and I just be so. Anybody called himself a failure before? Be honest, I have. I remember in school, when I almost carried the class. Hallelujah. When you almost carry the class, it's a heavy class. You reach home. I remember my dad told me one day, thank God for God has helped me a lot. My dad told me one day, he said, is he not somebody that took first? You are my son. You know, he said it with such endearing. The way he said it, he didn't even pain me. He said, my son, you almost carried the class. It changed my life that day. And I never saw it from that perspective. We're 40 in class. I carry like 35 or something. As you see, so me, we're standing. Now grace, oh. Now the grace of God. Some of you, they look at me and say, Bishop, you failed to be there. Let's go and look at all our report cards. Looking at me like, Pastor Joe failed class. You failed to. Some of you are here, you see grace all over your life. You are not supposed to make it, but you have made it. Hmm. You know you are not supposed to make it, but you have made it. So this same God is telling you there's more. There is more. You are not too old. You are not too young. There is more. Your body is still kicking. There's more. Your eyes are still sharp. There's more. There is more. So that statement, I'm a failure. So if you are here today, that statement once in a while creeps into your heart. I'm a failure. You've done many things, but it's like you have not come up with the kind of results that you want. You may not say it, but you are saying it inside. Ah, I'm a failure. I'm just... Look at what the Bible says. I want to let you know something. John chapter 3 verse 16. It ties with nobody loves me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You are not a failure. You are a child of God. Tell yourself, I'm a child of God. Please encourage your neighbor right now. Tell your neighbor, you are not a failure. You are a child of God. Quickly, let me end with this one. This is another statement that we make. God is punishing me. Oh, God, you're the child of God. If God punish you, eh? No, let's be. It's not the kind of punishment we think. If you maybe the go and stay in one corner or no job, not be punishment too. If you study scripture, when God punish, thank you, Nebuchadnezzar, that's not punish. He turned to animal. Not ever punish you because maybe work tight or you're not comfy parent or people not like you. God, you're the punishment. No. God not the punish you. The day of punishment don't pass. Jesus don't help us. But for as many who no one believe, punishment will come. God judgment. God will see flock people who not choose to believe. So that statement, God is punishing me, that's a lie. Look at what the Bible says. Come on. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 3 to 5. Romans 5, 3 to 5. God is not punishing you. No, I will tell you the truth. He's not punishing you. God is patient with you. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Verse 4. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Verse 5. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out. Not the punishment of God. The love of God has been poured out by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Do not accept or embrace that limited belief. God is punishing me. I am alone. I am a failure. Life no go better for me. I cannot move forward. No. Child of God. I'll end with this and I'll continue next week. I cannot prosper in this land. I cannot prosper in this land. This land that I'm in, I can't prosper here. I cannot make it in Nigeria. Can't happen. And you will never make it. Because it's a belief. You have embraced it. So any push from God is a shutdown. The earth belongs to the Lord. Nigeria is just land space. Landmass, a place we have carved out for ourselves and called Nigeria. That just big. Are you understand what I'm saying? It's just landmass. This same land here, or the Philippines, or the US, or wherever it is the same land. Now all our land, and that's what God told Isaac. Isaac had a belief: the land is dry. Let us go like every other person is going. God said, stay there. Isaac had to believe that wherever he was, and God was with him, he can prosper in that land. I'm just trying to attack a limited lie. Because some people, beloved, your hundredfold is in your land. It's in where God has placed you. There is no land that has prosperity. Every land is prosperous. It's to whomever God is leading, he will lead them to the prosperity of that land. Now, as I talk this one, I'll say, Bishop, don't make I travel. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about a belief. It's a belief. You have to kill a belief. Because it's that same belief you can sell to everybody. God is not here. Who says so? God is everywhere. God told Isaac, stay in that land. And he stayed there. The Bible says, what did he do? He sold. Isaac became so wealthy, the Philistines who had left the land were angry that he had become so rich. He had bought their land from them for cheap. Child of God, The same God that was with Joseph, that told Joseph when famine came, that same Egypt prospered. Things were dry, it prospered. It's a belief. Wherever it is God has called you, receive the promise of God. Attack the belief. Now, there's nothing wrong in doing things you want to do, but make sure it's not a belief. If I don't move to this place, I will not make it. If I don't know this set of people, I cannot make it. If I don't, you know, like they say in Nigeria, now who you know, now you make them. That's a lie. That's a belief system. That if you don't kill, it will cripple you. Now who you know, if you don't know, life not going to move forward. That's demonic. That my success is tied to people that also need connections. The person you are looking for that needs connections, needs connection. Ah, praise the Lord. He needs connection. Everybody's looking for connection. Who did God connect with Isaac? Just him and God. Let God do the connection. God will connect you, eh? You become the connection. To those who have ears, let them hear, beloved. Because if you don't allow God to attack your belief, our beliefs are dangerous if they are not submitted to God. You run your home like that. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. All the children. You have to, you know. So your belief is running fear. Your belief is running the marriage. It's running how you spend money. It's running how you pastor a church. It's running how you do whatever you are doing. Belief. And none of it is rooted in the word. So we can speak in tongues one moment, but pray and declare one moment, but when we leave there, we are still back to our beliefs because we have not embraced the truth, the promise of God's word. And it is only the promise of God's word that can truncate and destroy every limited belief. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, I pray, beloved, that our minds are open. That the Lord God opens our hearts. He opens our minds to the things that He wants us to have. In the name of Jesus. I see for your life, beloved. I see some of you here. By the authority of Jesus, opening doors for other people. You open doors for other people. I see some of you, the job that you are in right now is a stepping stone. It's a setup for the bigger things God has for you. But God, I pray that you open your heart to see what He wants you to see. In the name of Jesus. I see some of you here who have not finished your education, but God will give you a business of an educated man. They will think you are an educated man, but you are not sounding educated. You don't sound educated, whatever that looks like. But your results, because when they will see your results, they will know that God is with you. I see a woman here opening big stores. Oh my God. You don't need connection, says the Lord. You don't need connection. You don't need to pray that somebody needs to go down for you to go up. If that woman's store just closed now, I go get that store. God forbid, that's not your prayer. Don't believe that. Don't accept that. Because if you can pray that for somebody else, when you get the person, they pray the same thing for you. You see how the cycle is? You pray that she should, her business should go down so that you will own it. Now you are there. Person they pray to you, your business will go down. That is not your portion in Jesus' name. No, she can prosper. I can prosper. So I see it. I see stores. Stores. Do you receive that? I see children's school fees being paid through the lives of some of you here. Watch this. It is not because you can pay your own child's school fees, but God would unction you to pay for someone else first. A lot of you will experience the widow of Zarephath moment. What you have is just enough for you, but God will tell you, split it. Help this person. Child of God, I pray that you have the boldness and the courage to just obey. Just obey. God is not trying to deplete you. He's not trying to drain you. Thank God that we know the end of the widow of Zarephath, but she thought that Elijah was there to take from her. But she did not know that God had behind that obedience was many days. I pray that Lord God would lead you, and I see that He would cause you to pay someone's tuition, whether it's school fees, something. Pay for something for someone. But you don't even have enough to pay for yourself. But he will tell you, split it. Pay for them. Just obey. Whether he will tell you to do it multiple times, I don't know. But he will tell you, just obey. That's the next level. Uncommon instructions. Uncommon instructions. Those of you with businesses, he will expand the business, but he will give you uncommon instructions. Uncommon places, uncommon ideas. Uncommon people that you don't, this is not the person to meet, to talk business with. Because he or she is not a businessman. But God will tell you, talk to them. The belief is, since I'm in business, he will link me to business-minded people. Please, God's way is not our way. Please hear that by the Spirit of God. God's way is not our way. Just because I'm a businessman does not mean God will associate you to also business people. The person may never even be in business, but there's something God wants to use them to do. I pray that you receive this in your heart. And I pray that your heart will be open to receive and hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us please stand, beloved, as I pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Blessed be his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, as you help us to take the limits off. We thank you for the beliefs that have been formed in our lives over the years. And we have lived in such beliefs, and they are limiting what you want to do. But I thank you for exposing those beliefs. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beliefs concerning health and wealth and family and marriage and relationships and ministry and you and what you have done. Heavenly Father, today by the authority of Jesus, we break and we cast down and we pull down every stronghold of every belief system that is not lining up to the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that in these coming days and weeks, you continue to reveal to our hearts beliefs that need to be addressed. And we will not justify that belief. We will not embrace that belief. We will not make excuses for that belief. Immediately we'll take authority of that belief and crush that belief in the name of Jesus. For the word declares that I and they that the Lord has given me, we are made for signs and wonders. And so shall it be for each and every one of us here today. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. In Jesus' name we have declared it so. Oh, put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah.